It's happening, readers. We have heard that you want paperbacks from our tailored book recommendation service called TBR. And I'm delighted to let you know that we're going to be in sync with your request. That's right. We're bringing paperbacks. Whether you hate carrying around bulky hardcovers, you're on a budget, you want a wider range of recommendations, or all of the above, now you can get a paperback subscription from TBR curated just for you by one of our bibliologists. Get all the details at mytbr.co. That's mytbr.co. We're bringing paperbacks.
Red or Dead, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about the world of mysteries and thrillers. This is episode 175, and we are recording on Monday, April 15th. I'm Katie McLean Horner, along with Kendra Winchester, and we are coming to you from Book Riot. Hi, Kendra. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. A little bit of a cold, so if folks can hear that. And I'll try not to slurp my tea too loudly, but...
Oh, nothing like a good old springtime cold.
Yep.
I was going to say, I guess it was yesterday on Sunday. It was in the evening. I'm like, oh, why am I stuffy and my throat's scratchy? And I'm like, oh, I went outside for the first time in like forever and took a walk. So my body's like, what is this? This is sunshine. There's pollen out here.
Even Dylan has a drippy nose. You can hear him a little bit in the background. But yeah, we went to the fenced-in area because I don't want him to get excited hearing me. So we went to the fenced-in area, and like one time, you know, we saw some other corgis, and they had this whole little impromptu corgi meetup. And then most recently, they've made friends with a chorgi, a chihuahua corgi.
Oh my goodness. Accident.
It was an oops. Very cute oops. And then two Pomeranians. And they have a good time. So
Gwenlian
makes a beeline for every puppy that ever enters the fencing area. And she can keep up with them. She's still puppy art, I suppose. But that's our adventures. Amongst the pollen.
Yeah. Yeah, as always, I feel like now that, tomorrow is going to be tomorrow as in a day from the day that we are recording this, not a day from when everyone's listening, but the 16th is going to be our 1 month anniversary of bringing Jonesy home. And I feel like every time I've recorded an episode since then, I've had to issue a warning that you may hear some meowing or scritching at the door. Like right now, he's conked out on the back of the couch, but he is such a dog of a cat. Like he follows us everywhere. He has to be around people, and he gets upset when we shut a door and he is not allowed in. And like he'll reach his paw under the door if he can fit his paw under there. And it's just like something out of a horror movie. You just see like this little hand reaching under there. Or we started calling him Freddy because I went into the bathroom, but I didn't shut the door all the way. So he was able to kind of put his paw through between the door and the door jamb. And it's just a paw with like his claws sticking out like Freddy Krueger's knife glove. And he's just reaching around the edge. Like he's not smart enough to use his head to like push the door all the way open. He just sticks his paw out there. And so I just see this paw banging on the other side of the door. And I'm like, clearly the door is open. You can come in. Ding dong. But yes, he has to be where the people are. And
I want to be where the people are.
Exactly. Except he's less melodic and more about meowing and scratching at the door. But he's such a pumpkin. Like he's naughty and he chews on all of the charger cables that we have out. Those are his favorite toy. Like I can't like, I can barely let him come into the bedroom to snuggle with me at night because he just, all he does, like, he comes in and he just immediately sees my phone on the charger and just starts chewing on the cord. I'm like, no, you can't do that. You're going to electrocute yourself. So yeah, we're still working on that. He's still a baby in many ways, but he's also very sweet. And he was a great reading buddy last night. He was conked out on me for like an hour while I read my book, and he's just such a pumpkin. Oh, so cute. Well, I was going to ask, I mean, my reading has all been for the show, like specifically what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. Have you read anything mystery and thriller-ish recently, or have you still been on the nonfiction kick?
I've still been riding the nonfiction train.
Choo-choo.
For sure. Yes. So to working on that, it's I do like food books on the nonfiction side of things. So I've been doing some of those. I have a new, some new food books. My friend volunteered as tribute, so I'm going to go to her house on Wednesday to make some of the recipes I've been looking at. So we'll see what happens.
What kind of recipes?
Well, I'm going to work on recipe I'm adapting. I'm going to make a blueberry scone with homemade strawberry and raspberry jam.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, but it'll be gluten-free flour. I'm going to use regular butter, but I'm going to use free flour so I can actually eat some of it. And that's for her birthday because she just turned – well, I don't want to share all her personal business, but her birthday is today. So
her birthday is today and she turned an age.
She turned an age. And we're at that age where we're like mumbling our ages, so –
when you start to have to, when you're told to pick your age on something on a website, and you're like, oh, I've got to scroll for a little bit, don't I?
I thought it just the other day. Anyway, we're all feeling old. But we have some great books to talk about today, so I'm excited about it.
Yes. Before we jump into that, I think do you have a quick TBR update?
Yes. As we know, Book Riot has a tailored book recommendations service called TBR, and that's where you fill out a survey and you share your likes, your dislikes, if you're looking for something in particular, and then you're paired with a bibliologist that matches your interests, and then they recommend three books to you. And it comes in different tiers, so plans start at just $18, where you will get just the recommendations, and then you can go to the library or your own bookshelves and read the books, or you can have them shipped to you. And there's a paperback version of that, and then there's a hardback version of that. So that way you can find something on TBR that fits your budget. You can head over to mytbr.co to subscribe. It only takes a few minutes, and that's mytbr.co. And there are so many options. I've given this as a gift before. I used to be a bibliologist for TBR. It's a really fun thing to do.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick pause for our first sponsor.
It's happening, readers. We have heard that you want paperbacks from our tailored book recommendation service called TBR. And I'm delighted to let you know that we're going to be in sync with your request. That's right. We're bringing paperbacks. Whether you hate carrying around bulky hardcovers, you're on a budget, you want a wider range of recommendations, or all of the above, now you can get a paperback subscription from TBR curated just for you by one of our bibliologists. Get all the details at mytbr.co. That's mytbr.co. We're bringing paperbacks.
All right. So if you are new to the show, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. We're so happy to have all of you with us, listening to us chat about mysteries and suspense and thrillers and just about anything that falls under that ginormous umbrella. So in the past, we've talked about all kinds of things. We've talked about all of the various subgenres that make up mysteries and thrillers, but we've talked about many of them. We talk about award news, true crime updates, movie adaptations, author read-alikes, and yeah, just anything and everything that can fall under that giant suspenseful umbrella. So if you've listened to the show before, you know that this is always the point in the episode where we put out a call to our listeners to let us know if you have any ideas for future episodes, because we do really use the ideas. They're very helpful, especially when our brains are dead and we can't come up with something, can't decide what we want to talk about for the next episode. And it's worked out. It's helped us come up with ideas, but it also lets us know what you, the listeners, would like to hear more of, helps us expand our own reading horizons in the process. It's worked out really, really well. So if you have any ideas or show suggestions, you can shoot us an email, reach out to us via social media. We're going to have all of our contact information at the end of the show and in the show notes. So don't worry about trying to scribble it down, especially if you're listening to this while you're driving. Like every time I mention this, like the unspoken part is like, please do not, if you're driving, please do not try to write anything down. That just pops in my head every time. And so today I'm just like, I feel like I need to say this out loud. Please drive carefully if you're listening to us in the car. So yeah, you'll be able to get the contact information in other places. And at the end of the show, we just put out the call at the beginning of the episode to get those creative juices flowing while you listen. And even if you don't have any particular idea for a future episode and you just want to say hi, that is also fantastic. We love hearing from our listeners. And if you enjoy this podcast, definitely hop on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review so that other people can find us. And with that, there hasn't been, at least by my calculations, there hasn't been too much in the news, and we've got kind of a big topic for our main episode. So let's just jump right in, because it is time for our annual Edgar Award preview, which, gosh, I know that Rincey and I did this. I don't remember when we first started doing this, but we were like, oh, hey, this is a good idea. And then we just kind of kept doing it over across all of the different co-hosts every year. Right around the time the Edgar Awards are announced, we do a preview episode where we each pick a couple of the books to talk about that have been nominated for one of the Edgar Award categories. And then once the winners are announced, it's always fun to go back and see if any of the books we talked about were winners, which does not always happen. I think it's more likely that they pick another, but we're like, oh, neither of us have read that one. Okay. But yeah, it's kind of fun. I feel like I'm not gambling, because I don't have anything. I don't stand to lose anything, but I feel like I stake my claim to like a couple of books. And so those are the ones that I like root for every year. But yeah, how did you decide which books you wanted to talk about since there are so many nominations?
I looked to see what I'd already read, and so I picked one that I'd already read, and then I picked one to read from the list that I had heard of and was excited about, so it was already on my TBR. It kind of really just bumped up books that were already on my radar to like prioritize them more on my TBR. So that's really nice. It's when you have so many books on your TBR, I in fact, you know, have that never ending TBR wall. It can be overwhelming trying to decide, you know, what to read, what to listen to, whatever your preference. And so, yeah, it was really nice to have that, to have these lists.
Yeah, this was an unusual year, because I had already read two of the books nominated for Best Novel, which never happens. And in the other categories, like, I feel like in other years, I have minimal awareness of the books, or not minimal awareness, but like a lot of times I haven't read a lot of the books that have been nominated for best novel. And when I look at some of the other categories, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got like three or four books on here that were already on my TBR. And this year it was kind of the opposite. Most of my, most of my awareness was in the best novel category. And the other categories I looked through and I was like, huh, I'm not seeing as many books that are immediately jumping out at me. It's like, oh yeah, that one. Or, oh yeah, I was meaning to read that. So I did, I did a little bit of research, and part of that was dictated by which books we already had at the library. There was one book that I was like, oh, this one looks interesting. And then I'm like, oh crap, we don't have it. Which is my fault because I'm the one who buys adult fiction for our library. But so this one was interesting. I did a little bit more research than I usually do, which was kind of cool. And so I ended up with a couple of books that I may not have picked up anytime soon if it wasn't for this little for this little episode. But anyway, I feel like I've been talking for a really long time. So can I pass it over to you? give us your first pick.
Okay. So I think everyone will be shocked to learn that my first pick is All the Sinners Bleed by S.A. Cosby. I know. There we go. Yes. Yes. The shock. Oh, my goodness. What's interesting?
Bring me my fainting couch.
What's interesting is that since I mentioned it last year, it's received so many honors and awards. You go on Amazon and it has like that bold section with like the best books of the year for X publication is like a gazillion inches long. So it was not surprising to me that this one was on the list. And I will say in this category, which is it's up for best novel, I'm also interested in Bright Young Women by Jessica Knoll. So good. And Crook Manifesto by Colson Whitehead. So those are the three that jumped out at me, but I had read All the Sinners Bleed. And so if you haven't heard what this book is about, it's about Titus Crown, who is the first black sheriff in the history of Carroll County, Virginia. And, you know, In the several decades, you know, Karen has only had a couple murders, not that big of a deal. But, you know, when Titus retires as an FBI agent, he runs for sheriff. He wants to make a difference. And this seems like a good way to use his skill set. So he's caring for his dad, who is, he's older. He's not doing that well. So he's caring for his dad, doing this job, kind of recouping. We're not exactly sure from what, like what went down at his old job, like why he left the FBI. But, you know, he's just living his life. And then there is a shooting at the local school. So just heads up as a content warning, there is a school shooting and there is violence and sexual violence towards women and children mentioned in the book. Just as a heads up, I feel like it's very descriptive. So for this book, I definitely want to give a content warning. But anyway, so there's a shooting and a former student shoots one of the most popular teachers in the school. And it is immediately just a mess. It's like it started scratching the surface of problems that were already there. And so Titus has to try to untangle what on earth is going on. And then he learns that there is a lot more going on with that favorite teacher than anyone had ever expected. And I'm not going to say anything else about it. But one of the things I love about S.A. Cosby is he writes an excellent story. It's always like really engrossing, and he has really well fleshed out characters, but he's also looking at societal issues and teasing those out as well, and what they might mean, what they might say about our society at large. And I'm also very familiar with the area in Virginia. It's like a county or two above Newport News, where my brother lives. So it's really interesting to see, like, I know I've met and walked around and been around in that area and talked to people. So it's like I can envision the location down to such great detail that S.A. Cosby does. It is a fictional like town, but it's based in that area. And it's just really fascinating, fascinating book. So, oh my goodness. And you've read this one?
Yeah, listen to it.
Okay.
Yeah, and the audio is amazing. I have a coworker who I know you had already talked about this book, but she had just listened to a couple of S.A. Cosby's books, and that prompted me to finally push it to the top of my TBR and listen to the audio version. And yeah, it is so, so good. I agree. It definitely needs to come with a content warning. I think a lot of his books do. They're very gritty. They're very dark. They're very violent. But it's, if you're able to, you know, to be in that story, and totally fine if you're not, I know that is not everyone's cup of tea. But it's really well worth it. It's a really well-crafted story. The word that my coworker used to describe his books was cinematic. Like, you can see these being played out like almost like a movie. The descriptions, the characters, he lets the story, like it has a fairly fast moving plot, but he still takes time to let the characters breathe and like there's space for the setting to take effect. And it's just really, really well done. I'm not surprised that it's made so many best of lists. Even outside mysteries and thrillers. The two nominees that I've read out of the seven for best novel, it was this one and Bright Young Women. And then Kendra, you mentioned Colson Whitehead's Crook Manifesto. Just based on what I know of those three books and the other ones in the category, I would say it's probably going to be one of those three that takes best novel.
Yeah,
I will not be surprised if it's S.A. Cosby. I really won't.
Yes. So now is the time, if you haven't already, definitely check out All the Sinners Bleed by S.A. Cosby. It is wild, for sure.
All right. So my first pick, I went back and forth before I finally selected one. And I picked one from the best fact crime category, aka, or what we might otherwise know as true crime. And this is Tangled Vines, Power, Privilege, and the Murdoch Family Murders by John Glatt. And I picked this one. I wanted to do a true crime pick. And I did recognize this one by the cover because it was very popular at my library. And we have what we call our trending titles wall, where we order an extra copy of certain adult fiction or nonfiction books that are particularly popular and buzzworthy at a given time. And we order an extra copy of those, and those books can't be put on hold. They can't be renewed. It's kind of like first come, first serve, lucky day picks. Lots of libraries have different versions of this. But Tangled Vines has been on that wall for a long time. And I only had a vague idea of what the book was even about. So when I picked it, I kind of picked it based on just cover recognition. I was like, oh, okay, you know, I'll go ahead and read this. And, you know, for someone like me who I do this podcast every 2 weeks, I like to think I'm fairly up on mysteries and thrillers and stuff. And yet this crime, which happened less than 3 years ago, and was all over the news, all over the true crime podcasts, I only had the vaguest awareness of what was happening. I mean, granted, this happened during, you know, the height of the pandemic, and there were other things happening. So I guess maybe it's not totally surprising, but this was, I was just kind of like, how did I miss this? But anyway, if you are like me and are not familiar with the Murdoch family murders, this follows, the Murdoch family is a very prestigious family in South Carolina, where there has been a member of the Murdoch family that essentially, I can't remember, in South Carolina, they call it, it's not the attorney, it's like a district attorney general or something along those lines in terms of political position. But there has been a member of the Murdoch family elected to that role, has sat in that role for like 80 plus years. Like, this family they have generations of lawyers in the family that really ruled over, you know, the four or five different counties in South Carolina. They were really well known, had a tremendous amount of social and political power. And then in the summer of 2021, Alex Murdoch, who is he was an attorney, and he discovers the bodies of his wife and his son on the grounds of their hunting lodge. And then just a few months later, Alex Murdoch was found with by the side of the road. He was alive, but it appeared that someone had tried to shoot him in the head. And as everyone's like, what is going on? Like, the family, you know, everything that was going on with this family, you know, behind the scenes really starts to unravel. And it turns, there are all these things that kind of led to this, that investigators think led to this point. And none of this is a spoiler, especially if you already were aware of the crimes, you know, in the news as they were happening. But Alex Murdoch had embezzled millions of dollars from his law firm and from many of the clients that he represented. And the book goes into a lot of detail about how he did this. So he embezzled millions of dollars. His son, Paul, was implicated in a drunken boat accident that ended up killing one of his friends. And so the Murdoch family tried to use all of their power to shield Paul from legal consequences or anything that might tarnish the family name. But that had happened just a couple of years previously in like 2019. And then Paul was the son that ended up being murdered by Alex as everything starts to unravel and his way of life, what's the phrase? It was like when the crows come home to roost or something like that. The consequences of his actions caught up to him. And so he tried to escape them by murdering his wife and son, and then trying to stage his own suicide. This was a bonkers read. It was a fast read. I legitimately read it in a single sitting on the couch with Jonesy. But yeah, I literally read it in the span of an evening. It's not a long book. It's one of those, like, I have a feeling this would, there would be maybe a slightly different type of book if this had been written longer after the murders and the embezzlement investigation had happened. It does have very much kind of a ripped from the headlines feel to it. And, you know, the Alex Murdoch sentencing only happened a year ago, less than, I think. So this was, you know, this book was written very, very soon after all of this stuff came to light. And so I think it would be interesting to see what kind of a story unfolds, you know, several years down the road after things kind of settle and, you know, you kind of see, you know, the implications of what, you know, a larger picture of how these crimes have affected, you know, that the community that the Murdoch family lived in. But yeah, this was bonkers. And definitely, I think definitely worth a read if you are a true crime reader. And while I was reading this, Kendra, I wanted to ask you if you had either read the book or if you remember seeing this stuff in the news, because I know that you live in South Carolina. And I just wondered if it was, you know, if it had more, or if you were more aware of it just because you were closer to it geographically.
Yes, absolutely. Because we live down in Beaufort. Right. Because we lived down there at the time that it was all going down. So we're right there. And so I'm getting updates like every day. And then he's like, they started some sort of national podcast about this. And I'm like, what? Because it made, you know, local news. And Sam, one of his coworkers, you know, was from the area. And so actually knew of these people. And it was a wild time. It's like something in your tiny area actually is making these huge headlines and multiple podcasts and books. And it's just wild. But I haven't actually read a summary or anything of it. So I'll definitely have to recommend this to my spouse because he was keeping up with it way more than I was. He was listening to all the stuff on his commutes and all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's I mean, not surprisingly, given, you know, well, just looking at the title, the big part of this is how this family, you know, how they wielded their power in, you know, very unethical and sketchy ways, like, and in to different, you know, different varying degrees. But yeah, like Alex Murdoch, like he took advantage of many of his clients were, you know, African-American, or, you know, were otherwise, they were poor, they were people of color, and he would, you know, make them feel safe and comfortable, like, I'm going to take care of everything. And then he just like wouldn't tell them that they had, you know, that they had received a big settlement. He was a personal injury lawyer. And, you know, he was dealing with like workman's comp and stuff like that. And so he would like tell them, oh yeah, this hasn't, you know, your claim didn't come through. Meanwhile, he's got this whole setup where he's pocketing checks for like $500,000-$600,000 and siphoning it off to different areas. There's a drug ring, dealing with opioids, and it's just like, oh my gosh. And even, you know, you kind of get a picture of a society or a part of society that allows this type of corruption to just kind of run amok. Yeah, it was fascinating. And I only have minimal awareness of the area. Just a couple years ago, we traveled to Charleston, and then we drove down to Savannah. I was in Beaufort years before that. I had my boyfriend at the time was graduating from boot camp on Paris Island, so I think we spent a couple of days in Beaufort. So I'm you know, have minimal awareness of the area, but yeah. And then I was just kind of thinking about like, well, I live in the Chicago area, and there are not necessarily, you know, I mean, there are powerful families, but like, I'm thinking of this from a lawyer aspect. Like, if you talk to anyone who lives in Chicago and has a TV, you can rattle off a couple of lawyers right away. You're like, oh yeah, those people. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what if one of them turned out to be really corrupt? But anyway, that train of thought's just going to go way off the tracks. But yeah, so that is Tangled Vines, Power, Privilege, and the Murdoch Family Murders by John Glatt. And before we jump into our second picks, let's go ahead. I'm going to take a quick pause for our second sponsor. All right, take it away, Kendra.
So my second pick is for the paperback original section. What's the category? Oh, my word. I couldn't even remember the word for category. Anyway, so okay, that is Beer Wong's. I do. And I'm like, anyway, you can't see the gesturing I am of my poor stuffy head. My pick is one I'm currently listening to, and that is Vera Wang's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers by Jesse Q. Sutanto. And this is performed by Eunice Wong, which won the Audie Award for Best Mystery. I think, I can't remember if it won an Earphones Award, but it's been like lauded one of the best mystery audiobooks of 2023. And I was like, of course, I'm picking this one. So I love a cranky older woman protagonist. It's just like one of my favorite things in the entire world. So Vera Wang lives in San Francisco's Chinatown. And she has this little tea shop, and she just has a lot of opinions. And so, like, as she walks to her tea shop, we're getting all sorts of, like, opinions about the people around. We're getting to know her. And, you know, one day she walks downstairs to her tea shop, and there is a dead man in the middle of her tea shop, as it happens in a mystery novel. In a cozy tea shop, there is a dead man. And in his outstretched hand is, like, this flash drive. And so she's around there. She doesn't really know what comes over her, but she grabs the flash drive thinking that this is going to be important because, quite honestly, she doesn't think the police can do their job. She could do a better job than those police, and that is what she decides to do. And so one of the things I love is that Eunice Wong captures the narrative voice that Vera has that's so distinct. It's, like, so, like, cranky and judgy. And there's this quote from the description of the book that I can't, like, get out of my mind. And it says that Vera is sure she could do a better job than the police possibly could because nobody sniffs out a wrongdoing quite like a suspicious Chinese mother with time on her hands.
I love that.
So, yeah, she forms relationships. Like, she gets to know her customers and she's really cranky. But then you can see the customers are growing on her. But then she's like, oh, probably one of my customers is the murderer. So she's trying to figure out which of her customers is the murderer. And oh my goodness. I just love the narrative voice of this book so much. And Eunice Wong does such a great job. I'm so glad I did this on audio. For sure.
Yeah, this was the book that I talked about last episode for our humorous mysteries. And I was like, I didn't get a chance to start it because I kept forgetting to bring it home from the library. So I'm so glad that you had a chance to do what I couldn't.
You know, I thought about it and I was like, I feel like we can talk about this book more. And here we are. And I, you know, when I went back and looked at the list, I originally just picked it. And then, like, while I was like, well, where have I heard this before? And then I remembered that you talked about it. You know, Life of a Cold. But I've heard nothing but good things about this book. And I particularly wanted to highlight the audiobook since it did win an audio award. And Eunice Wong is like a big up and coming audiobook narrator. She did Milk and Honey by C. Pam Jiang. And she did a one I just finished called Memory Piece by Lisa Ko. So not mysteries and thrillers, but like she does a lot of Chinese American stories. So huge fan of her. So I guess I'm equally as fan of her, but I would recommend this one. I feel like sometimes the paperback originals just don't get as much love as they deserve because they come out in paperback and that's considered thus air quotes prestigious, whatever mm-hmm. that means. But Vera Wong's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers is definitely one you should go pick up. And that's by Jesse Q. Sutanto.
All right. And then my second pick, I pulled from the Best First Novel by an American Author category. And that is Murder by Degrees by Ritu Mukherjee. And this is a historical mystery that I think has a lot of similarities to The Widows of Malabar Hill by Sujata Massey, which if you've listened to this episode, you know we love some Parveen mystery. We love that series. So this book is, it follows Dr. Lydia Weston, who is a female doctor in Philadelphia in 1875, when female physicians were just not a thing. And so she's one of the first female physicians. She is a professor at the Women's Medical College of Pennsylvania, and she is pulled into a police investigation because the body of one of her patients, whose name is Anna Ward, is pulled out of the river. And they, at first, the police say, oh, she died by suicide. But Lydia is suspicious because Anna came to see her not long before her body was found. She seemed off. She seemed like something was bothering her. And then as they investigate a little bit further, they start to think, you know what? This may not be a suicide. This may have been murder. And so Lydia is pulled in to investigate with the police because she knew Anna Ward, and because of her position as a physician, she's able to assist them, you know, with the autopsy and, you know, and using her medical knowledge to figure out what happened. And yeah, this was a really interesting book. It's interesting because I wouldn't call it gory, but there are a lot of descriptions of human anatomy, of, you know, medicine, people with different ailments that were common at the time, which can be, can be kind of gruesome in their own rights. But it was a really, really interesting story. Obviously, I was drawing similarities to the Pervine Mystery series, because in that series, Pervine Mystery is one of the first women to practice law in Bombay. Obviously, you can see the parallels here. In fact, I think Sujata Masi even gave a blurb for the back of the book. So so that right there, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely on track with this comparison. But yeah, it's not gratuitously gory. So I think this is a mystery that would have a wide appeal for readers. And yeah, and this one I picked A, because I wasn't as familiar with it. B, I had already ordered a copy for my library, so it was already on the shelf. But C, I also don't read a ton of historical mysteries. So I thought that this would be a good opportunity for me to, you know, to push my reading boundaries a little bit when doing that has been a little difficult. But it's not a long book. It's a fairly fast read. I read it over the course of a couple of days. But yeah, really, really interesting, really strong sense of, you know, of place, of time. And yeah, really, really interesting characters. And I enjoyed this one. And I have to say, overall, in the category for best first novel by an American author, like, there were a couple of them that I recognized the covers, but I didn't know anything much about them. And I don't know if that just happens to be that, you know, they picked lesser known titles for that particular category this year, if I'm just showing my own ignorance by not being as familiar with these. But yeah, did you ever have this one come across your radar, Kendra? Because I don't feel like we've talked about it on the show prior to today.
Yeah, I agree. I can't remember if we've talked about it on the show or not. So it was nice. It's one of those times where we're introduced to books that mm-hmm. are new to us that put them on our radar, which is really great about awards like this.
Yeah. So yeah, I think definitely worth a read, especially, yeah, if you like historical mysteries, if you enjoy the Pervine Mystery series, or if you're just looking for something that isn't, you know, that isn't super dark or gory, but it still gives you, you know, a really entertaining mystery. And that is Murder by Degrees by Ritu Mukherjee.
Well, those are our four picks for that. And I guess now it's time to head into new books.
Yes. And I feel like I shouldn't feel guilty because you picked your book independently with, like, I didn't give any suggestions. But the two new releases that we picked are both books that I was debating between. So I will I'll pass it off to you to talk about your new release pick.
So this is a book that as soon as I saw it, I texted Katie and I was like, you need this book immediately. And so it was one of our most anticipated books the first half of the year. And that is Butter, a novel of food and murder by Sako Yuzuki. And this is translated by Polly Barton. And I am so excited about this book. The headline says, a cult Japanese bestseller about a female gourmet cook and serial killer and the journalist intent on cracking her case inspired by a true story. And one of the first lines is, there are two things I simply cannot tolerate, feminists and margarine. Please, where do I sell my soul to read this book? So I am so excited. I think it is going to be phenomenal. I'm here for it. I think, you know, Japanese crime, mystery, thriller genres, they just really get in the head of murderers really well. I don't know what it is. They get crack that narrative voice and they do such a phenomenal job. And so I'm so excited for this book. Yeah, I know it's on high up on both of our lists. So.
All right. So my new releases pick is One of Us Knows by Alyssa Cole. It's out on April 16th. So by the time you listen to this, you will be able to pick up a copy. And everyone who has listened to the show before should know by now that I am a huge fan of Alyssa Cole's psychological thriller, When No One Is Watching. And this is her next psychological thriller, although it's also got kind of a gothic feel to it. But we have Ken Nash, who has a career as a historical preservationist, but she also has a history of mental illness, a diagnosis of dissociative identity disorder. And she has been given a second chance in her career as when she's offered a position as the resident caretaker of a historic home. She has she's determined not to ruin this opportunity. Just, you know what, this is being handed to me. I'm going to take it. And then the people associated with the home's conservation trust visit the house unexpectedly, right as a storm is bearing down. And all of a sudden, Ken finds herself surrounded by a group of possibly dangerous strangers, and including someone who she has a history with. And then when he turns up dead, she is the prime suspect. So we have this house that's on like an isolated like river island, a storm, and a group of people that can't be trusted, potentially unreliable narrator. And in Alyssa Cole's capable hands, this book just sounds fantastic. I can't wait to read it. And that is One of Us Knows by Alyssa Cole.
Well, that's our show. We did it.
We did it.
All of the things. I'm very proud of us. Thanks so much to everyone for listening. And of course, a huge thank you to our wonderful sound editor, Caitlin Brame, for always making us sound great. And for show notes, you can head over to bookriot.com/listen. For more book recommendations and bookish goodness, head over to bookriot.com. And don't forget, you can find Book Riot's full stable of podcasts also at bookriot.com/listen, or you can just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. If you'd like to send us an email with feedback or show suggestions, you can reach us at redordead@bookriot.com. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Katie Winchester and on TikTok at Kendra Winchester. You can find Katie on Twitter at KT_librarylady. And we'll talk to y'all next time.
Bye.